Well, first of all, I want to say that Betsy and I have never had to move to Oklahoma or Texas. But I think if I had a choice, I'd move to Oklahoma and not Texas. Anyhow, how wonderful that the Lord is answering prayers, right?
Amen.
And we are just so thankful to the Lord, you know. And I was thinking about these choruses, too, that we've been singing with Naomi. They express the joy and faith of our hearts to the Lord, right? I mean, faith, you know, and lift my cup up, Lord, you know, fill my cup. And bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. You know, and Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
Amen?
Amen? And so how wonderful that these things. And tonight also we sang at Calvary, which we sing quite often, but how wonderful. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. And then this chorus, mercy, there was great and grace was free. Pardon, there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. But this phrase here, mercy, there was great, grace, and free. And tonight we're doing a little study on the word mercy. The word mercy. So if you have your Bibles, please open your Bible to Psalm 51, 52. Psalm 52, and we see here what the psalmist says in Psalm 52, and reading verses 8 and 9. Psalm 52, 8 and 9. He says, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. But here we have here, he says here, I trust in the mercy of God. And so tonight we want to consider just briefly the mercy of God, God's mercy. One of my favorite quotations is from Lamentations. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because your compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And usually I like to preach in that passage, I like to preach on God's faithfulness. But tonight we're going to say the mercies of God. And then we have in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes the Corinthians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Amen. And the God of comfort. And so here we consider the mercies of God, God's mercies. And you know, in the Bible there are great Bible words. There's great considerations of Bible words. There's faith and hope and love, salvation, propitiation, redemption. We have these eternal life and forgiveness and justification, sanctification, glorification, right? So we have all these great Bible words and themes and many, many more. But tonight we're going to consider the word mercy. In theology, we try to come up with exact definitions of words, and sometimes we're not very good at it. We're not very successful. But we try to distinguish between mercy and grace. And one of the things that theologians try to do is distinguish between mercy and grace. And so we say, for example, we say that mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. Now get that. That mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. For example, we are rebellious, we're proud, we're sinful by nature, and justice says that we deserve God's judgment. Justice says we deserve hell. Nope. But in mercy, God does not give us what we deserve. In grace, God gives us what we don't deserve. Now try to get that. That in mercy, God does not give us what we do deserve. But in grace, God gives us what we don't deserve. And so this is a kind of a thing here. For example, we have the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, right? And grace, we say, is the unmerited love and favor of God towards man. Now, unmerited means that we don't deserve it. There's nothing we can do to earn it. And so it is undeserved. You do not deserve. I do not deserve forgiveness of sin. I do not deserve eternal life. You know, and so the grace of God, sometimes we have the acronym too, that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And so this is what grace is. But let's look at the word mercy. I have two definitions here, kind of. Let's do what a friend of mine does. Let's see, what's his name? Dr. R.C. Wetzel. He likes to go to Webster's Dictionary. So here is what mercy says in Webster. Mercy is refraining from harming or punishing offenders. Mercy is refraining from or harming or punishing offenders. Kindness, compassion, disposition to forgive. You know? But, and then here we have another one from a more Greek approach to it. Elias, for example, merciful or mercy, is the outward manifestation of pity. But look at this. Mercy, it assumes need on the part of him who receives it. Mercy assumes need on the part of him who receives it and resources adequate to meet him, to meet the person, the need on the part of him who shows it. So here it assumes need on the part of the one who is receiving mercy, and it assumes that the person who gives mercy is able to do it. And of course, only God can do that, right? Only God can do that. So God is rich in mercy. He's actively compassionate. And of course, Christ as our high priest also is at the right hand of the Father and the mercy seat of God. So this gives us a little concept of mercy. Now, I've been reading a devotional by Charles Spurgeon. And Charles Spurgeon lived in the 19th century. That means the 1800s. And he was a great Baptist pastor of England. And I was reading, his sermons are collected together. There's 63 volumes of his sermons. And so here's Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And he gave a little outline, and we'll just look at this outline briefly. Let me just read what the outline has, first of all. For example, it has these concepts: tender mercy, great mercy, undeserved mercy, rich mercy, manifold mercy, and abounding mercy, unfailing mercy. Aren't those great? So let's just look at those a little bit here, and consider mercy, God's mercy toward us in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, praise the Lord, He does not give me what I deserve, right? But He gives me in grace what I don't deserve. He gives me salvation in Christ. And so mercy is free, right? The mercy of God. Tender mercies. That means that God's mercy is gentle. It's a loving touch that heals the broken heart. Isn't that beautiful? The idea of God's mercy is tender. And we could expand on each one of these from the scriptures and so forth. But let's just notice these. Tender mercy. Great mercy. God is great. His mercy is infinite. There's no bounds to God's mercy toward us, right? His mercy is so great that it forgives great sins to great sinners. Isn't that a neat thought? That, I mean, hey, whether you realize it or not, You are a great sinner. You know, sometimes we don't recognize that in the inmost being of our being, we all by nature are rebellious. We're rebellious against God. We're rebellious against His holiness. We even rebel against His love. And we have this cancer in us that is called sin. And yet God has mercy upon us. And he is able to save the greatest sinner. You know, the greatest sinner is not necessarily out there in ghetto land. I am the great sinner. I am a great sinner. Because in there's just that lack of submission to the will of God. There's that lack of, Lord, take me. All of me. Right? And so here, God, this mercy is a great mercy. It's an undeserved mercy. We don't deserve it. And there is no right on the sinner's part. We don't have any right to God's mercy. We only can expect justice. And you and I, we do not want justice upon us. Justice condemns us. Justice condemns us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here it is an undeserved mercy. It is a rich mercy, always available. It is founded in the riches of Jesus Christ. And so this mercy is so rich, so full, so lovely, right? The rich mercy of God. The manifold mercy of God. It's not just a single mercy, but many, manifold. It is just without end, the mercies of God. We say it is of the mercies of God. Not just one mercy. You know, a multitude. Just a manifold. No offering of God's mercy toward us. And so there's a concept there too. An abounding mercy. It is full. It is abounding. It is fresh. It is new. It is alive. God's mercy toward us in the Lord Jesus Christ. An unfailing mercy. The mercy of God does not fail. Does not fail. So God's mercy never leaves us. He is always with us. And so, praise the Lord for that. So, one thing you have to do when you get up here is watch your time, you know. You have to be careful of time, right? And not go over the time limit. But that's why we say that, we have the old saying, get up, speak up, and shut up. You know, and so that's what they tell young preachers to say, see? But in any case, briefly tonight, we have seen something of the mercy of God. And we all are recipients of this mercy of God. And so let's just think of this, God's tender mercy, God's great mercy, God's undeserved mercy, God's rich mercy, God's manifold mercy, God's abounding mercy, and God's unfailing mercy. Now, we have a verse that's interesting here in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. We read this, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities will I remember no more." Isn't that beautiful? Look at he says here, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness." Instead of judgment, mercy. Mercy, you know, toward the unrighteous who are, and we are the unrighteous. Remember that two men went up to the temple to pray. You remember those two guys? Went up to the temple to pray, you know, and the Pharisee says, "Oh God, I thank you. You're so great, God, and I thank you that I'm not like this guy here." I mean, this guy is really a sinner. You know? But I'm okay, Lord. I tithe, you know, and I go to the synagogue and I go through the hoops, you know, of being a Pharisee. And what does a publican? What is a publican? Huh? A publican is that tax collector. Now here's this tax collector, you know, like Zacchaeus. And of course this is a guy who's getting rich. This guy changes Roman coins for shekels in order that the people might worship in the temple. You see, you have to change this carnal money, you know, of the Roman Empire into the holy money of the shekels of the Jewish temple. And so in the meantime, there's a little exchange in there. Now, those of you who have traveled at all, you understand this change business, you know, changing money. And you can go right across the border here, and you have change houses. And, of course, those guys are in business. So they're going to make money, right? So these guys, these publicans, were considered to be traitors. Traitors to God. Traitors to the Jewish people. Because they were making money off these people. But this publican, he's there too, and he says, oh God, he doesn't even lift up his face. He says, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Isn't that beautiful? And that's where we all are. That's where we all are. We're not the Pharisee. We're not going to get there on our own works. We're not going to get there because we're good, right? We're not going to get there because we're better than somebody else. We're going to get there because we say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. Isn't that right? And so I was thinking now here as believers, and I think all here tonight are believers, but we do want to remember that we're still all in the place of the publican. All the time we're just thankful to God for his mercy, right? And we're all ready to say, oh God, no God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But then as believers, I was thinking, what is our response? What is my response towards the mercy of God, the mercies of God? Well, the Apostle Paul kind of gives us a clue. In Romans 12:1-2, that perhaps all of us have memorized. If you haven't memorized Romans 12:1-2, memorize Romans 12:1-2. And come with that Romans 12:1-2 all the time, every day, all the time. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this age, to this world, but be being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know whether that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I used to ask my students, you know, at the seminary and so forth, and I said, I don't want an answer. I don't want an answer, because this is a private question. Do you want God's will in your life? Don't answer that, because that's pretty heavy. Do I really want God's will in my life? And Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done, right? Amen. But do I really want God's will in my life? But then Paul says, you see, I beseech you by the mercies of God. All that has happened in chapters 1 to 11 of Romans. All that God has done for us. No, in justification, in sanctification, in glorification, in propitiation, in all that Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. And I beseech you, I plead with you, I urge with you, you know, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I have a message by a guy named Dr. R.C. Wetzel on Romans 12:1-2. And he puts in there a yield. Too. But present, yield your bodies. Now, have I ever done that? I think really it can be in a student's life, in any life, it can be a crisis that leads to a process. I mean, if you've never done this, you say, Lord, I yield my body. Wow, my body, my five senses and everything else, my body as a living sacrifice. I don't know whether you have experienced this in your life, but I think I'm willing to be a dead sacrifice. I think I'd like to be a martyr. In early church history, you had people in early church history that wanted to be a martyr. They had a martyr complex. They had a martyr complex. And so they were willing to be a martyr. And I'd say, Lord, man, to get out of this sinful world and to get out of my own sinful self, Lord, I wanna be a martyr. I wanna be a dead sacrifice. But the challenge is to be a living sacrifice. That's the rough one. To be a living sacrifice. And by the mercies of God, we present our body a living sacrifice. Another concept that we're wrestling with all the time. It's, what does this mean? That if you're a Christian, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, wow. And here collectively, as the body of Christ, collectively, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Individually, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Kind of wild, yeah? But that is what God says we are, right? And so, what can we do? We can present ourselves to Lord daily. Lord, I want your will today in my life. I give myself to you. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I have been crucified with Christ, yet no longer I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and giving yourself for me. And this is the result. This is our reaction, what we can do toward the mercies of God. Because God loves us because of his mercy. And this is what we have to do. You know, I was thinking too, that you and I, and R.C. have and I have talked about this. You know, in some ways, maybe it could be a lot easier if we were physically persecuted. If we were out in these areas where Christians are giving their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a tension, there's a stress because you don't know where you're going to live the next day, right? And there's this persecution. But it's harder to live in a comfort zone. We are so comfortable. We have everything we need. We don't need anything. We have houses, we have lands, we have cars, we have food, we have all of this stuff. And I'm finding in my own life that the problem is being so comfortable, you know, and to keep, I'm trying, you know what I'm trying to do? To keep from stagnating. To keep from stagnating. And it's very, very hard. Except that every day we thank the Lord for his mercies and we yield ourselves to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the challenge here as we think of the mercies of God. And what I'd like to do tonight is just each one of us bow our heads. And maybe if the Lord leads you to do this, do two things. Thank the Lord for his mercies. Thank the Lord for his mercy. And let each one of us yield ourselves to be to the Lord, to be controlled by the Spirit. And so whatever decision that the Lord could do in my life, in your life, let's just spend a moment here, each one in the private of your own sanctuary, as it were, with these things and this concept. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, this evening for your mercies, Lord, for your mercy and your mercies. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy day by day, for your love and care and grace. Thank you, Lord, that as we walk in the light, as you are in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, cleanses us from all sin. So now, Lord, thank you, too, that we just commit ourselves to you. Oh, Lord, help us. We need your help, Lord. We need your help. And we need your mercy. And we want to walk with you and love you and praise you and thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And thank you, Jesus, that you are our mercy seat. You are our great high priest at the right hand of the Father. And you are interceding for us. Thank you for praying for us, Jesus. Thank you for your intercession. And thank you that you are our mercy seat. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
Father, we thank you today. Thank you for this good message about your mercy. And truly it spoke to our hearts. I pray for each person here that the Holy Spirit of God will touch their lives, use them. May every moment of every day be not my will, but thine be done. So speak to our hearts, address our needs. Go with us now to our homes. Lead, guide, and direct us now. Keep us in your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you.